Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
dangerous, worship your love. Lying and cheating, scheming and creeping, just caution, let ya. Then expect the Lord to bless ya. Heard his call, you're having a ball, you're taking a fall. Doing your thing all around the clock. Get your soul out of hock, cause the clock stops and stop a dollar bill. You'll sell your will for a piece of paper. Then you're looking for God's favor. 6 days of playing, one day of praying is not enough. In God we trust.
Assalamu alaikum, and that is the peace that Almighty God gives be upon you, be upon us, and we welcome you to another edition of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and we are expecting a guest to join us momentarily, that is God willing. Muhammad Ali, cultural music maker, educator public school system there in California, and we are looking for him to join us momentarily. But what I thought I would do is to read something. I got a new book entitled The Reckoning, Our Nation's Trauma and Finding a Way to Heal. And oddly enough, this is a book written by Mary L. Trump, PhD. She's a relative of former President Donald Trump, and she has a background as a mental health clinician. And she's written this book in terms of the mental health condition of the United States of America. And I just thought I would share some of it while I was acquainting myself with it. I'd acquaint you with a little bit of it. And I found this chapter very significant, significant in its opening statement. This is chapter 6. We hold these truths. And it begins, despite the centuries-long project to prove otherwise, and as much as many of us still believe otherwise, there is no truth to the myth of white supremacy. Pardon me, white superiority. That fact, unfortunately, is irrelevant in the context of the power inherent in the racial hierarchy white people have built. White supremacy is an increasingly powerful construct that spins a narrative designed to confer power on whites and deny it to blacks. It teaches whites across generations that their race confers upon them significant advantage and prestige. The theories upon which these beliefs are based are utter nonsense. The advantages, however, are quite real. Now I'm gonna stop there. This is very telling and very, in my opinion, very significant. How she begins this centuries-long project to prove otherwise, and as much as many of us still believe otherwise, there is no truth to the myth of white superiority. But now, if you study how this social construct, it's become a social construct now, and it's supported a language of race, race, and you can Google when both of these terminologies came into being. All you have to do is go to Google and put in white people or white man, and you'll find the origin of it in the mid to late 17th century. And if you look at what was taking place in America around that time, you can come to your own conclusion as to why this terminology was decided upon. A similar time period for the identification of the social construct of race, R-A-D-E. And they kind of, it's like Allah says, he's created everything in pairs. The devil comes behind Almighty God, and he establishes his pairing, you know, as well as other things that he copies from the natural creation that Almighty God has created. And I just thought I would share that, as, like I say, this book by the relative of, I think she may be a niece. Her name is Mary L. Trump, and she's a clinician, a mental health clinician, a psychologist. I don't think that she's a psychiatrist, but I think her clinical area is psychology. So I thought I would just introduce that, and we have a guest, inshallah. He's on the other coast, the West Coast, and we're expecting Muhammad Ali to join us. He is a California educator, and also he is a musician. So he's involved in cultural expressions utilizing music. And so my guest is a little tardy. I do expect him, inshallah, but we wanted to read, like I said, I just got this book dealing with called The Reckoning, and I wanted to read something from it to familiarize myself with it. And I came upon, as I was skimming through the pages, I came upon this this chapter 6, We Hold These Truths. Now, that language, many of you may recognize, comes from the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, it's interesting to me that the quote-unquote founding fathers who established the language foundation for the United States of America, they were colonies of the British Empire. And it's interesting to me, this profound language in the Declaration of Independence, which came before and produced by the Continental Congress, and then the Constitution of the United States of America, and how the language suggests a more evolved group than what we know the founding fathers were, or those early leaders coming out of the Continental Congress and then becoming the members, the signatories of the Constitution of the United States. A large number of them, I don't know how many because I haven't checked, a large number of them were slaveholders. And the question comes to my mind, and I haven't researched it yet, but I'm curious to look into it. How is it they could come up with such refined and refined human language. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That suggests a consciousness, a high degree of consciousness, considering the global environment of the world and how far man had grown, the human being had grown in his understanding of himself, that this language comes about from a group of predominantly owners of slaves. And then the Constitution has language like, in order to perfect a more perfect union. And all of this because of my adhering to and studying and reading the Sacred Quran and studying and reading about the life example of Prophet Muhammad. All of this is curious to me in terms of how this language came about from a people that had not developed to meet the language in their behavior. And I welcome all of you to Not Just Talk. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and I invite you to make a comment. You know, what are your thoughts? Please join in on the conversation. And what are your thoughts? And as I was reading this and thinking about those two ideas, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America, I thought about the Quran given in very simple language, a common identity to human beings. And he says that he gave us this identity. He said he has given us laughter and tears. That is so elegant in terms of an identification being given. There's no need to add anything to it or take anything away. You know, it's very refined. I'm speaking of this language of the Quran, that Allah Almighty God gives us this identity of giving us our identity in behavior. This is what human beings do when they come into the world. These two expressions, all of them have, no matter where they're from, all of the newborn life comes into the world with the gift of laughter, and you could include smiling originally, and tears. These are very basic, and I think of how profound that is, that Allah describes us people in very basic language, very basic language. And I thank God for that, because our commonality should be understood in a very basic way, an application and an identification of all the peoples on earth. And how can citizens of the United States improve upon the unity? And in many cases, you see in the news and other reports of how ununited, if I can use that word, how ununited the citizens of the United States are. But we have this foundation coming out of the Nation of Islam. Personally, I have heard members talk about how those two documents, that was for the white man, that was for the Caucasian, that was for the white man's edification, that was for the white man's establishment. Well, there is Frederick Douglass and many who were with him in his elevated thinking, who said that those of us who are not European or Caucasian, we should hold this government, we should hold this nation accountable to the language that it says it's established upon. And that's a social challenge. And that kind of thinking, elevated thinking, is much more helpful to the challenge of making that language real and not hypocritical and not expressing hypocrisy. To make that language real, certain thinking and behavior has to come about. And Frederick Douglass and many who were with him believe that that was the challenge for Negroes, African Americans, and in the association that I'm connected with, we can use the language Bilalian, which comes from a historical figure who we could readily identify in terms of his history and his life. Many of us who are African Americans can identify with the figure in history called Bilal ibn Rabah. So, praise be to Allah. If you'd like to make a comment, we invite you to press 1 to come into the conversation. We are connected online at am360.org, or you can stream this program and other programs by calling 701-719-4197. And for the in-studio conversation, if you happen to be listening by way of the World Wide Web, Internet, you can call 515-605-9891 or 425-292. You can share your comments as well at info@cwsc.us or tweet at capital C, capital W, Shura, capital S, Shura. Visit the website of our parent company, Community Watch Shura Conference, Inc., at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. And we have a caller. Welcome to Not Just Talk. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, Kareem Hamid, calling in from St. Louis, Missouri. Michael, and
welcome.
Praise be to Allah. It's good to hear your voice this evening, broadcasting on America Must Be 360. You know, you are somewhat keep up with current trending conversation and subject matter.
I try.
Yes, sir. I believe you are aware of a designation for men called passport bros.
Yes, I have.
Passport.
I've been listening to this conversation. Yes, sir.
And,
Go ahead.
You know, there's a two sides to that. You know, let me explain to the listening audience that there are men that are obtaining passports to go to other foreign countries seeking a wife.
Now, I'm going to have to ask you to give the broader context of why this is coming about. But go ahead, continue. Excuse me.
Well, that's the conversation that I wanted us to have. There are two ways of looking at that.
Okay.
Right. There are some men that go to foreign countries to exploit women in those countries. You know, if you're from the United States, and let's say you carry $2,000 with you, well, due to currency exchange, that makes you somewhat of a wealthy man in certain countries. And some women in those countries, they look forward to meeting successful men from the United States. Now, some men may go looking to sexually exploit, but there are men that are serious that are not going to these countries to exploit or misuse someone. They are truly looking for a wife. What has caused them to go to such a great length of getting a passport and going to another country is that it has been their experience that too many females are displaying masculine, aggressive behavior, or that their morals are at such a level that men do not want to wipe them up, as they say. You look at the hairstyle, the style of dress, the dance, the language. There's quite a few men, African-American men, are turned off by that. They say you can't even have a decent conversation. You can come up and introduce yourself, and you are looked at, you know, in a demeaning way. So there are many negative things that they are pointing out as to why they do not want a wife like that. I'm talking about serious, conscious men that truly want a wife with the attributes of being feminine, caregiver, good morals, excellent language, and know how to interact with males on an equal par of respect. This is something that is occurring, and inshallah, I'm not sure. I'm still thinking on it. But the last Wednesday of every month on the Female Solution, we have set it up whereby there is an all-male conversation. And this is one of the subject matters that we look forward to have with men that agree to take part in that conversation. Sit on that panel and share honestly about this phenomenon called passport bros. So what's your take on that, or what's your thinking on this phenomenon called passport bros, if you would, Michael? I look forward to your sharing on that.
Okay, I appreciate the question, because it's something that I've been observing for, I know, at least a year now, and relative to the conversation of relationships between men and women, and in particular, African-American men and women and their relationship. And a part of that context, it kind of recently come to this idea of, okay, well, men leaving the country to find more feminine and more women who qualify as wives in terms of their femininity and their ability to perform the duties. And subjects come up in terms of being able to relate, and the idea, and I'm going to use the broad strokes, the idea that women don't understand what men want, and that women women have control of whether a baby comes into the world or whether a man can have sex with them. They control sex and productivity or life, permitting life to come into the world. Men have control over relationships because a woman may like a guy, may like a prospective man for marriage, but he has the final say. The man has the final say in terms of relationship. So these are the broad strokes that are taking place around this relationship, this idea of relationship. And the conversation it gets to be very volatile, very emotion based. And the people, I listen to people attempting to have the conversation, but it appears to be more fire and heat than any kind of light being shed on the subject. But my thoughts are that this is a part of Almighty God, Allah, says wherever we are, He will bring us together. And we find in the conversation the author, I think it goes back to the 80s or 90s, Sherazad Ali's name comes up, and she wrote this book on male African-American relationships. And she talked about how the argument between Caucasian men and women was brought into the life of African-American men and women. And it really, there's no basis for that argument, but the influence of femininity or feminism has come in to the African-American community. And it has been very problematic. There's been a lot of problems around it, you know. And I mean, we've always had, just as there, our ancestors was told about the differences in Caucasians, that there were intelligent Caucasians, and there were Caucasians that they identified as white trash, you know. Similarly, we have a spectrum, so to speak, as I see it, of men and women who have been raised with good sense, been raised with values and standards, and those men and women of the African American community that had not been raised with good standards home rearing. And this problem, there's a problem added into this conversation whereby women over the last, at least 30 years or so, since the introduction of the government into welfare, giving the women welfare, but the stipulation is that there's not to be any man in the household. And you have African-American women that are less afraid of raising a child by themselves than they are of getting married. And this is a big, big, big problem where unwed mothers who are trying to raise children and not being aware that it's more important to nurture the boys and the young males and females that they bring into this world than it is to put shoes and food on the table up to a certain point now. You know, the child has to be sustained. Its life has to be sustained. But there's been a great, great, great disregard for the nurturing of the child. And the women, admittedly, I've seen women try to raise young boys on their own. And what they're raising, by and large, are boys that are going to be a problem, and they're not growing up to be men unless they've been exposed to men that have standards and good moral character. So
yeah.
I'll stop there, Imam.
Right. You know, what you just described was planned social engineering.
Absolutely.
That was social engineering instituted by the United States government.
Imam, if I may, I'm looking at the clock. So let's take a moment for a public service announcement, and then we can come right back to it. But I don't want to we've gone a little far. So stay tuned for more of Not Just Talk. We'll be back after these messages.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
And we're back with more of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and we have a caller, Kareem Hameed. And we were discussing this relationship environment that we're in now. And if you would continue in your own words, Imam. Are you there?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
I want to inform those that may not know. There is a phenomenon occurring in this country coming from out of the African-American experience and community. There are African-American males, and I'm quite sure others, that are obtaining passports to go to another country like Colombia or an African nation, even as far as Asia, in search of what we would call a traditional wife. A traditional wife. Many of them have got somewhat fed up with the perceived attitude of African-American women in their expressions are not, this is not every woman. Let me say that before I get lit up on this radio station. Their demeanor is very masculine. Their language is very aggressive. They have adopted morals from hip-hop female artists, Cardi B and all the rest of that, and they're imitating them. And men are somewhat getting fed up with having to deal with that and being spoken to in a kind of a disrespectful way. Now, this was something that was planned through social engineering, that the government would not give help or aid to a struggling poor family as long as there was a male in the house. The male had to leave. He had to leave the house in order for the wife and children to receive sustenance to help them. As a consequence, we have too many single female-headed households. And there's one thing I know, as conscious males, we make the statement, the sisters have really held it down. They have really held it. Well, they had no choice. They had no choice. The children was left with them. The man had to leave the home. And so she stepped forward to see to the raising of her children. She had to work. She had to be the protector, disciplinarian, and protect her children from influences that were harmful. So,
but ma'am, I have to interject. There was a choice,
go ahead.
You know, the help from government, which kind of in terms of the being the provider, the government assistance, assisters became the daddies, and this tradition of women being less afraid of having a child or children to be raised without a father, without an intact family structure, that they accepted that challenge more so than the challenge of going with their men and struggling to establish themselves together.
Yes. You know, we are more socially educated now than we were in the early part of the 1950s, the 60s, and moving forward. So we were victims of social engineering. Now, the woman says, well, I had to be like this. I had to be out front. I had to be the one to meet all challenges that came toward me, my children, and our family. So as a consequence of that, we are hearing now some women saying, I don't need a man. I don't need a man. And from those bruised feelings, there seems to be a lingering resentment. And so that's why we are witnessing masculine disposition coming from our women. And there are conscious men.
I've heard that traumatic situations will bring out this masculinity. There's a saying that pressure is for shoulders and not for hips. That women weren't really designed to handle the kind of pressures that they stepped into in terms of being the main provider and caretaker for these children, and not knowing, many of them not understanding, that you have to find a male relative or some type of male, what they call surrogate, a male example to raise your boys, because women are not capable of raising boys. They have a different kind of sensitivity, but most of them are not sensitive. Many of them are not sensitive to the fact that it takes men to raise healthy boys. And so you've got these youngsters who, I've seen it, my little man, this is the man of the house, talking about a little 5 or 6 year old and putting all these crazy price shoes and other items on him, thinking that's, what it's the word for that. When you overdo something in order to kind of satisfy, where you may be lacking in other areas. So you overcompensate is the word. And so, you've got these young boys. If you look at where this gang-banging culture comes from, is young boys raised by single mothers getting certain emotional sensitivities and then going out and finding another example of their similar situation who may be more angry than they are, and forming these gangs and these cliques and causing all of this violence over somebody stepping on your shoes, and you kill somebody over something as frivolous as that, and this overly exaggerated sense of respect or requirement for respect. And I'll stop there.
Yes, you are so correct. But also, what we are seeing coming from young women is in some cases is the behavior and the language of their mothers.
Yes, sir.
As they describe it as toxic masculinity. So
yeah.
What we are seeing, even from young, I'm talking about young women, is that abrasive, very forward, language,
aggressive
attitude,
yes,
how they so. But thank God, some of us survive. There are conscious men that truly desire to have a wife, not a girlfriend, not a thought, not someone that's trying to look like Madonna, Cardi B, and all of that with pink,
yes,
blue, and green hair. And they usually, from what I'm hearing from some men, is they approach women, and immediately there's a big wall put up. And it's not a smooth wall, it's a rugged wall. So
yeah,
there's a movement now among African-American males. They are called passport bros. They are going to other countries in Africa, Central America, South America, and there they encounter women that are still foundationally sound. You know, I have heard women say, I'm not going to cook for no man. I'm not. He better this and he better that. I'm not going to do this. No. And that has gone full circle. And it's coming home to roost now. So it's not just the female's influence on the male. It's also her influence from that masculinity that she, in a lot of cases, had to display to protect herself and her children. And the daughters hear the conversation concerning, I don't need a man. All men are blah, 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 or blah, 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 dogs and all of that. And that have created an atmosphere of conflict.
I have had to step back. I have had to step back from these very volatile conversations. Sometimes I've seen them get into shouting matches when it's male and female, and you know who is more to blame than the other. But I have to step back with my Quranic and Prophet Muhammad filter, and also with an understanding of history, where the whole group was put into a caste system, the African American men and women put into a caste system, and the purposely destroying the male's ability to lead, provide, and protect, and utilizing the women to put, because the woman is the first to share the cultural expressions and the cultural values, to put those harmful superiority values of white over black, and to put this inferior image, you know, and a lot of it is represented in terms of the Caucasian or white Jesus Christ on the cross being the savior of the world, and what that has done to us emotionally and psychologically, you know. And a lot of these things are emotional and psychological conditioning that has taken place, that we need more of clinicians or those with those type of skills. They don't have to necessarily be certified psychologists and psychiatrists, but they need to know and have insight into the human soul and how the human soul is and what the devil has done in his intention to create a pharaoh type culture, which oppresses the mind and the soul of human beings, particularly African Americans, in lacking a healthy identity.
Yes, I agree. These types of conversations, you know, to not be aware, to not be aware of the social engineering that took place.
Yes.
I believe that's where the education needs to start.
Absolutely.
That the male and female stop being enemies to one another. We are both victims of
that's
a diabolical scheme. And we have to know that, embrace that, and see that we are victims, and reconcile the negative feelings that we have toward each other, feelings that were not grown naturally, feelings that were manufactured for us.
Yes.
Men are getting sick and tired of approaching women, and there she is standing there with her hands on her hips, standing back in her leg, ready to pounce. The event that happened in Chicago concerning the mother and her 14-year-old son.
I saw that.
Right. Now, look, you know, there is one superiority that Allah has given the male over the female, and that is his physical strength.
Yeah.
Physical strength. Now, so when some men can't handle a woman standing up in his face, she is very aggressive, cussing at him and taking postures as if she's capable of assaulting him. This young man, which does not have emotional education, he responded. The only strength that he knew he had, and that was his physical strength. He hit her like he was hitting Mike Tyson and continued. She kept her son. Her son was sitting out in their car. She texted him and said, bring my gun. The young boy got the gun and was carrying it in a restaurant. And he saw this man beating his mother, and he shot and killed him.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is for women, be aware of the danger that you put yourself in an altercation between uneducated, emotionally unstable men.
Yes.
Be aware of it. You can't beat up a man. You know, all in his face and all of that. So it's that type of behavior that some men are fed up with this culture here in the United States between male and female, and they have obtained passports, and they are going to other countries in search of a feminine wife.
Yeah.
So there's
also
a subject.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, sir. There's a lot to this situation, and it's not a simple this or that. As you are stating, there are elements to this thing in terms of social manipulation. Both men and women are dealing with traumatic issues that cause them to be in a position to be emotionally triggered by certain events. And it's not the majority. You know, it's not the majority of the women, I don't believe. And this is what I liked about the conversation of one of those opponents of African-American men and women having a conversation. He was very entertaining and dramatic in his approach. But what I did like was the fact that he based the conversation not on feelings, but on statistical information produced by African American statistical organization, black facts given by African American statisticians. And I really appreciated that, because as I listened to these conversations, they're too emotional based and they're too subjective. You know, I could say, well, yeah, I've seen in my own family, I didn't see it directly, but my uncle, my great uncle, my grandmother's younger brother, would fight with his girlfriend every weekend. And I had heard about this, you know, I've heard about this from other sources, But that's not the majority of African-American relationships during that time or even today. That's not the majority. And being able to go to a statistical base is helpful, you know, to keep these emotions down. And even in trying to keep the emotions down, there's some people that just want to, you know, use their own experience only, which is limited, use their own experience in describing what our situation is. And that's not a healthy way to deal with changing the problem or really identifying where the problem, where the most difficult parts of the problem are when you're just going on your own experience. You know, and this is a big problem for us. And it's particularly so for African Americans because our historical situation as a group has made us very moody, very emotionally based. You know, we don't have, oftentimes we're not basing our conversations on observable facts. We base our conversations on how we feel at the moment, you know, and this is never going to work for people to get free, really free, and to grow as a community. It'll never happen unless we work on this problem in identifying the fact that we have to tamp down, get control of our feelings and emotions, and think. And think, as Allah tells us, you know, thinking is best, and thinking on God is the better, you know, understand. And when you think on God, you don't have to give your direct focus to the Creator. Just look at what He has created and find, see the logic in how Mother Nature operates. If we could just do that, if we could just see how Mother Nature operates, there are principles that are well established. Just like this idea of gender, you know, there are many genders. Well, that's not what the history of life has said. You know, from animals that produce their young from the womb, it's always been male and female in the production process, you know, and so this clouding the language, changing the language, exaggerated language is surely from the devil, because when you're able to affect people's thinking by way of the language that you introduce to them, then, you know, you can affect their behavior if they buy into your language structure. So I'll stop.
You know, Michael,
any other comments? Even? Yes, sir. Go ahead. Did you hit the mute button? Because I heard, you know, your mic is open. And for other callers who are on the line, you're welcome to press 1 to come into the conversation. We appreciate and value your thoughts and your contributions. So press 1 to come into the conversation. And I see Imam Kareem's phone has dropped. So if you would like to come in and share, the line is open, and we're waiting for you to press 1. To join us in the conversation. 727-741. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yes. I'm almost embarrassed to say I just came on, but the link of the conversation is quite interesting in my mind. I guess I've been already thinking on it. Martha Nyla calling from St. Peter's, Clearwater, Florida. And relationships have been alaykum as-salam to you and Michael and everyone listening. And as soon as Imam Kareem comes back on, and I did catch hear him say about one's leaving the country for sake of more femininity from the opposite sex. And so as I think of it and relate to it, wow, you know, okay.
Well, this is a new phenomenon, and I don't think it's a majority. It's just that it's kind of interesting phenomenon that has people's attention. Well, if you don't want me, I'll just go somewhere else. If you're going to act like this and say anything you want to say and with that song, if you want to continue dogging me around, I'm gone.
I'm
out of here.
And then, too, when you think about, you step back and you truly want to see the humanity, the human of everything, and you want to be so always personal, just my story is the story, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you want to step out of that, and you want to see, and this is why I love walking and talking to other people, and it just happened to be of other cultures, and some of even my, relatively so with the complexion, I just look at it that way, and then just listen to young people, and I ask a young man today, does he know what is expected? He's 26. Do you know what is expected of a man? And he said, yes. I say, truly, I grew up with a father figure in the house. My sons, they have father figure to a degree. So, but this young man, part-time father figure, but alhamdulillah. So I wanted to know how he's thinking. And with everything that's happening around him and others, we truly have to stay nuts and bolts, tied to the center, because it's so easy to fall off the wagon. And I'm speaking about our human behavior and what is expected, what is expected of being a male and what's expected of being a female, and then the relationship comes into view. And once we look at the relationship, well, do I like you? Why? I like you because not because you've got nice hair or you dress nice is one thing, but it has to go deeper, and it has to be provisions made for relationship building. So, alhamdulillah, I'll stop right there.
Listen, hold on. There's something that I have noticed, not just among women, but also men. But you hear a lot of it expressed by women about their happiness, their individual happiness. And there are some of these relationship internet stations that talk about the fact that life. I took couples counseling with my estranged wife, meaning that we're not together, but we're not divorced yet either. We took couples counseling, and something that really surprised my wife was when the counselor said, no one is responsible for your happiness. And happiness is very subjective. I'm concluding with what the counselor said and saying that it's very subjective. And that means it's very personal, and it can be a very selfish thing if you allow it to go beyond the limit. So the earlier couples and the way Allah describes relationships is such that you don't fall in love. Love is developed over time and with experiences that you share together, whether they be good or bad. Love develops out of that dynamic, and you also, God tells us that our focus should not be happiness. He's created us, men and women, to serve his will and plan for the world. And that's why we're here. Now, how do we do that? Then we have to look within. Also, we were given this idea of how we come into the world. We come into the world not being able to care for ourselves, and that should suggest, but if it doesn't suggest, we should share the fact, look, you're here and you owe. It's not about you, it's about us, and you owe a debt to life. And so now how do you do this? Well, mama will show you. She'll give you some chores. You're part of this house. You have to keep your clothes straight. You have to keep your shoes straight. You have to keep your living space straight. You have to keep it in order, keep it clean. And, responsibility and accountability to be taught because this world is teaching this crappy idea about happiness, and it's ruining people, you know, because that's not the focus of life. And the more we got away from what the focus of life was in terms of family, family obligations, family responsibility, the family legacy, the more we were grounded in those areas, the better our life was. And prior to the 60s, before the 60s, African-American men and women were the most married group in America. And then something happened. Something was introduced into the life, the social life, that messed that up. Any comments?
Yes, and I do have Imam Kareem Hamid on. He will explain what happened. Assalamu alaikum, Imam.
Yes, I see him. I'm open up his Yes, sir. Welcome back.
Yes. Well, let me press one on my phone. That way you can know where I'm at on the board.
I don't think it'll happen when you're already open.
There he is. Yeah, I
okay.
Closed his mic. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right, welcome back.
Well, alhamdulillah, thank you. And Martha, thank you for your assistance. Praise be to Allah. Imam Muhammad said, look, when you see Satan raising his head up, don't wait until you see his eyes. Hit him right in the top of his head, the immediate.
Yeah.
So yeah. I see this as something that is growing. And until we can reconcile our differences as male and female, especially in the African-American community, we have to admit that we have been played. We've been played.
Yes.
Up on throughout the 20s, 30s, 40s, even into the mid 50s, the majority of households were two-parent households. And marriages was common among us. But something happened. Not of our making. This was socially engineered. So some women feel justified in the position that they have taken, in their attitude, the spirit that they bring with them. They feel justified in behaving and expressing themselves in a overly masculine fashion. Well, that turns conscious men off. That turns conscious men off, you know. So if we were able to speak to any, I don't care who, Pookie now, whoever, tell them that, and especially our professionals, many of these men that are going overseas are men of moderate to modest means, but they are looking for, I would say, they are looking for a natural urge in them to be connected with the male, to be connected with the female, a masculine connected with femininity. And femininity does not mean that you allow someone to run over you. No, that's truly a misnomer. But a lot of men in this country, they look around and they are seeing grandmama got her hair with those long strings, different colors. Mama got it. And the small children, little girls, and have adopted the behavior of those that they hold up as models for, the African-American female. So, but as a consequence, that's why we're faced with now passport bros, men that have just stopped looking and just given up. They said, look, this is Sodom and Gomorrah, man. I'm going to Colombia. I'm going to Chile. I'm going to Vietnam. I'm going to South Africa. I'm going to Algeria. I'm going to another country where women have not to the degree of the women in this country left the foundational structure of what it means to be a healthy woman and being a healthy wife. In some countries, young girls are somewhat trained or steered toward how to be a woman, how to be a wife.
That's natural.
That was natural.
That was natural.
Yeah.
That's a natural development in terms of it's only in a first, I'm going to put it this way, it's only in a first class country situation where you've got institutions. The police force is predominantly male. The fire force is predominantly male. So you've got, not direct male involvement in the life of these women that say that they're bosses and say that they don't need a man and blah, blah, blah. You know, they don't need a man directly because they've got indirect help. You know, they can get a AAA card and call the mechanic or the towing service. You know, so they have men serving their needs, but not the direct relationship need. I'm hearing that it's only late in life that many of these professional women and others that consider themselves more educated and more financially stable than the average men in the African American community, they find that they've had to have a trade-off. Because as they've gotten older, suitable men are no longer attracted to them. And then, they're going to act different. Many of them have said, they can't really value a man that makes more money than them, and they're not going to treat them the same, with the same kind of respect because of this thing called hypergamy. That a woman tries to find a man that either makes the amount of money for her security or more than the amount of money needed for her security for her and the children. This is nature based, but it's gotten warped because of this first world situation that we're in, and this idea of feminism that's coming to as a very satanic influence into the relationships, and it's even led us now we're into gender confusion and the cowardly leadership of America, government and other influences are not saying that, this is an illness of the spirit of the soul, and it's not something that you're going to solve by operating on men cutting their genitals off. You're not gonna change it that way or adding genitalia to the female. It's a problem in the soul.
You can speak to the soul of the average human being. It does not require having a clinical or doctorate and all of that.
Yes,
how
sir.
How we feel is universal. It's universal. And how we feel toward each other. It's not really sustenance. It's not really money. The problem is how we feel about each other. that has to be healed. How we feel and think about
each other.
Even if you don't have 3 cents, you are due respect. So that's what we're speaking into. And inshallah, since this has come to the fore, and it's on some venues, it's a major conversation that is a plus. It's being addressed. It's being addressed.
We have to look at this in the context of Allah being over these affairs and having full power over the controls. You know, we think that we're in control of this matter, and we do have a limited free will to make decisions and be accountable. But there's a bigger picture, a bigger context in terms of human relations. We know that these conversations, and they can get kind of emotional in terms of the relationships between African-American men and women. But there's a greater context involved, according to the Quran and according to the clock, you know. So final words from you, Sister. Sister.
Martha
Nyla.
yes. It is right in our face as we are, our mannerism, for those of us who are willing to stay the course, stay centered, you know, male be male, female be female, and the consciousness, our sincere time of reading Quran and then lifting our heads up and seeing what's before us. We see the daily routine of people moving about. And as we communicate, you know, do our best to communicate in a fair and sincere conversational way. But I'm wanting to say, appreciate the male for being the male and appreciate the female for being the female and appreciate the relationship. Say that enough.
You know, if this was just,
thank you.
You know, if this was just a religious dialogue, alhamdulillah. But you know, I heard Imam Muhammad say, and I'm quite sure you did too. He said, look, tell the people the truth. He said, you don't have to mention Allah. You don't have to mention the Quran. You don't have to mention Prophet Muhammad. You don't have to mention me. Because in this environment, my observance of that is that when you do that, you will lose a great portion of your audience.
Yes.
But just tell the truth. See, if we couch it in too much religious dogma, then that will cloud the issue. This is a human issue.
That's right.
So if we just tell the people the truth, and they themselves, the truth can be so plain, so simply expressed, that those that are spoken to will bear witness. That is the truth.
I agree.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. And dear audience, we're going to close out. And we'll make a supplication to Almighty God, a dua, and then we'll close out. We pray, oh Allah, we cannot manage this life for ourselves, not without you. Make our life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be. Do not allow us to act on our own. Help us to act only in obedience to you. We hear and we obey. Thank you, dear audience. We greet you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Join us next week for more of Not Just Talk.